If you do, then we're going to be talking about weddings tomorrow afternoon with Kathy between 1 and 4. And Kathy will be with you next Saturday and Sunday. Normal service is resumed then. But it's been a pleasure to be with you this weekend. Thank you very much indeed for your company. Now, let's finally talk about this big issue, the conflict between science and religion. Now, we were talking about embryology, and the experiments are going to take place in the first 7 days after the fertilisation of the woman's egg, although it'll be illegal to implant the modified embryos into a woman's womb. The researchers involved hope it will improve our understanding of miscarriages and infertility. Now, that's something that many people, of course, are familiar with, and it's, I suppose, a big issue for some people. Is it the right thing to do from an ethical and religious point of view? And are we sure that it's actually totally safe? That is the question we're asking this morning. My guests are Dr. Peter Saunders, Chief Executive of the Christian Medical Fellowship, and Jonathan Romaine, who is a progressive rabbi who specialises in medical ethics. Gentlemen, welcome to the programme. Peter, first off, you're not completely against altering human DNA, are you?
No, we think that gene editing for adults and children with genetic diseases or abnormalities holds a huge amount of therapeutic promise. And listeners might remember the case of Layla Richards, little girl with leukemia in London last year, where all treatments had failed. And then she had an infusion of genetically modified stem cells, which saved her life. So there's huge potential here. But the key question we're looking at today is whether we should allow gene editing of embryos, so-called germline editing. And we're strongly opposed to that. And we're in good company with scientists all around the world who are worried about the safety aspects. When they tried this in China last year, 1 in 5 embryos were killed with this technique, CRISPR-Cas9. Only a fraction had the disease mutation repaired that they were looking at. Only half of the surviving cells had their DNA modified. And there were other so-called off-target effects where genes elsewhere were being affected. And of course, if implanted, these get passed on down the germline. So this is why in Washington, D.C. last December, an international summit called for a moratorium on this practice, said it was irresponsible to proceed.
Okay then, Peter, let's find out what Jonathan has to say. Some say, Jonathan, this is a start of a slippery slope, if you like, towards designer babies.
No, I don't think so. I mean, certainly it's right to be cautious. It is new territory, so we have to be very sort of careful about what we do. But it does offer enormous opportunities. And by the way, it's worth remembering that the fertility organisation is highly regulated, and also that one of the panel members was the Bishop of Swindon. So, you know, it's got religious and ethical viewpoints right at its very centre. And the idea is to try, can't guarantee, but to try and understand and maybe cure why people have multiple miscarriages, infertility, possible cures for certain diseases such as Huntington's or multiple sclerosis, and with two really big caveats. Firstly, that these experiments can only take place within the first 7 days, and secondly, that these cells are about to be discarded anyway. They're not going to be implanted, they're not going to become living human beings, they are about to be discarded. That's the law. They can't be used for any other purpose, but with the fertility organisation is letting the doctors do some experiments for the common good and for no other reason. And if it works, great. And I think we should be actually very grateful and pleased.
Peter Saunders, I mean, what would you say to women who suffered numerous miscarriages or been told they can't have children? They come out this week and strongly back this idea.
Well, that's an incredibly good question. But actually, if you read the 27-page licence application for this experiment, it says absolutely nothing at all about miscarriages. What they're going to do is produce genetically modified embryos, destroy them, put their modified stem cells in culture and grow them. And we already know that the genetic abnormalities that cause IVF failure or miscarriage are not due to the kind of single gene defects that CRISPR-Cas9 can fix. They're due to abnormal numbers of chromosomes or abnormal structures in chromosomes, conditions like Down syndrome and other related syndromes. And these things can't be fixed by this technology. So I'm afraid all this stuff about helping infertile couples is pure spin that's been generated in order to justify this experiment, which many scientists around the world regard as grossly irresponsible. And the HFEA is not highly regarded in many countries. They've gone down the line of cloning embryos, of animal-human hybrids, three-parent embryos, against huge international opposition.
Peter, thank you very much indeed. Finally, Jonathan Romain, I mean, if it meant that we could screen out things like Down syndrome and spina bifida, would you find it ethically acceptable to have an altered baby, a designer baby?
A baby that wasn't going to die in agony after 3 or 4 years? Yes, absolutely. That's what we play God for when we use our God-giving skills to enhance human life and better the human conditions. That's what it's all about.
Jonathan, thank you very much indeed. Jonathan Romain there, who is a rabbi, and also Peter Saunders, Chief Executive of the Christian Medical Fellowship. Thank you for your company this Sunday morning. Kathy, back with you next.